in your time of trouble. Just reach out and say the name, the sweet name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus.
Come on and say the name. Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. We're back on the air live at 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And just like Martha and Uzi was saying in the song, to say the name of Jesus. Sometimes there's nothing else to say but the name of Jesus. Sometimes you can't do nothing but call on the name of Jesus. And I know that for a fact. Hallelujah. Because there's been times where I didn't know what to say. But when I called on the name of Jesus, that's all that mattered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I just want to thank God today. And I want to thank God today for allowing me to be home. Hallelujah. Safe. Hallelujah. No dangers going on here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I thank him for that on tonight. Hallelujah. And we praise the Lord God for everything that he's doing. Hallelujah. Because nobody can do what God can do. He's God. He's God. And I tell you, no matter how hard we try, we can't match God. Hallelujah. So what we want to do is just welcome the Holy Spirit onto this broadcast on tonight. And for those of you who know, and some of you may not know, that we're supposed to have Stacy Lattisaw on tonight. And she should be coming in at about 5:30. But we want to go ahead and pray and invite the Holy Spirit in and just give you a couple of minutes out of the book of Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind. Sound like I'm having a battlefield of my own over here. But Jesus is Lord. So, Father, we just want to say thank you tonight, Lord. We want to bless your holy name. We want to give you glory and honor and just say thank you because, Lord, there is nobody like you. Father, we bless your name. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, because you are worthy to be praised. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, oh God. Anything we may have said with our mouths, oh God, anything we may have thought, anything that we should have done and didn't do, or anything that we did and weren't supposed to do, we ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you, oh God, to come to this broadcast tonight by your Holy Spirit. Teach this broadcast on tonight, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We pray for those who are not yet born again, who may be tuning in, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We pray for them that their souls will be saved, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that the God of this world will no longer blind them, oh God. They will no longer blind the glorious light of the gospel from their eyes, oh God, in Jesus' name. But we pray tonight for their salvation. Ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that whatever hindrance is standing in their way, Lord God, to keep them from being saved, from being born again, from accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that you will remove those hindrances tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Or whenever they're listening to this message in the archives. And Father, I just say thank you tonight. I glorify your name, Lord God. I give you praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. For you alone are worthy of all the praise. You alone are worthy of all the glory. You alone are worthy, oh God. And I just thank you and I bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For you are worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we decrease, oh God, that you might increase, oh God. Have your way, Father. Have your way, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we turn it over to you by your Spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Father. Hallelujah. And we just thank you and give you praise and give you glory and give you honor. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. With thanksgiving, I pray. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, since the last time we was on a broadcast, I believe it was last Monday, actually, and we were on the broadcast talking about the Joyce Meyer book, Battlefield of the Mind, and I did want to make mention of Joyce's name. Of course, I say it all the time, Joyce Meyer, her book, Battlefield of the Mind. And I know that last week when I was ministering out, we were able to read a portion of the book where we were. And it was really something the ladies wanted to talk about, a wandering, wandering mind. And I want to talk about that on tonight because a lot of our minds wander and a lot of our minds wonder. And we want to talk about that because one of the reasons why we can't stop doing the things we do and one of the things we can't get past where we are because our minds wander around. Our minds are every place but where they need to be. So we can't focus on what God wants. We can't focus on what he wants us to do because we're everywhere else thinking and trying to think it out and trying to, you know, make it be something else that it's not. God says do it one day, one way, we got to wonder about it. Well, does he really want me to do it this way? Is that what he really said? I don't know. Maybe we should do it this way. Maybe I shouldn't do anything at all. I mean, and I'm saying this because I go through that myself. I've been through it, and I go through it. But we have to get to a point where we can just trust God. We have to get to a point where we really, 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 really can trust God. I just want to read this. She says in this book, 1 Peter 1 and 13, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Gird up the loins of your mind. She says, in the previous chapter, we stated that a mind too busy is abnormal. Another condition of the mind that is abnormal is for it to be wandering all over the place. An inability to concentrate indicates mental attack from the devil. Many people have spent years allowing their minds to wander because they have never applied principles of discipline to their thought life. Principles of discipline to their thought life. She says, quite often people who cannot seem to concentrate think they are mentally deficient. However, an inability to concentrate can be the result of years of letting the mind do whatever it wants to do whenever it wants to do it. And I totally agree with that. We let our minds just go wherever we want them to go. We let them think about whatever we want them to think about. Okay? So now we have to be at a point where we train our minds to think on the Word of God. But how can we train our minds to think on the Word of God if we never study the Word of God? How is it that we, Bible-believing, Bible-quoting, well, not even really Bible-quoting in this instance, but supposed to be Bible-believing, Bible-carrying, and a lot of us don't even know what the Word says ourselves. We've heard people quote the Word the way they quote it. We've heard people, you know, read the Word themselves, but we have never, a lot of us have not spent time in the Word of God ourselves. So our minds wander, and they think about everything else. Oh, man, I got divorced. Man, I'm never going to have a man or a woman, whatever the case is. Or, you know, I this, and I should have done this, and I didn't do that. Now I can't go to school because I don't have a job. What is it, Gerald? I don't have a job because I don't have any education. I don't have any education because I don't have any money. I don't have any money because I don't have a job. I mean, it's a vicious cycle of just wandering, a wandering mind, just wandering around, just nothing steady to focus on. And we need to take the Word of God and focus on the Word of God. Okay, do we have to talk about the butterfly or the caterpillar again? Okay. My husband said no, but we all know my favorite thing to talk about is the caterpillar going into the cocoon and coming out as a butterfly. Okay, but we can't come out as a butterfly if our minds are wandering all over the place. She says certain B vitamins enhance concentration. Therefore, if you have an inability to concentrate, ask yourself if you're eating right and are nutritionally sound. I'm not nutritionally sound. I'm just going to say that. I don't know about you, but I'm not. She said extreme fatigue can also affect concentration. If you have the Joyce Meyer book, I'm sorry, it's on page 87 in the regular book. It's chapter 9. Okay. Extreme fatigue can also affect concentration. She says, I have found that when I am excessively tired, Satan will try to attack my mind because he knows it's more difficult to resist him during these times. The devil wants you and me to think that we are mentally deficient, so we will not attempt to do anything to cause him problems. He wants us to passively accept whatever lies he tells us. Can you believe that? He wants us to accept whatever lies he tells us. We know that's true. She says, one of our daughters had difficulty concentrating during her childhood years. Reading was difficult for her because concentration and comprehension go hand in hand. Many children and even some adults don't comprehend what they read. Their eyes scan the words on the page, but their minds do not really understand what is being read. Often, a lack of comprehension is the result of a lack of concentration. I know that for myself. She said, I know that for myself. I can read a chapter in the Bible or a book and all of a sudden realize that I do not know what I have read at all. She says, I can go back and read it again, and it all seems new to me because even though my eyes were scanning the words on the page, my mind had wandered off somewhere else. Because I did not stay focused on what I was doing, I failed to comprehend what I was reading. Often the real problem behind a lack of comprehension is a lack of attention caused by a wandering mind. Now, if you know you have a wandering mind, you know, this is ministering to you right now. And she's not even, she's just telling the truth right here. She's not lying here. Now she's not lying in any part of her book, but I'm just saying that I know for a fact that this is true. I could pick up my Bible and begin to read my Bible, and everything from years ago will come into my mind to cause me to start thinking about it. Why? Because it's a distraction. Because it's a distraction. Hi, Tash Fabulous. Thanks for joining us tonight. How many of you know that if you begin to read the Bible, you'll either get sleepy and start yawning, or your mind will just start wandering? Right? I know that has happened to me so many times, and it's ridiculous. So she goes on to say, a wandering mind, keep your foot. Give your mind to what you are doing, Ecclesiastes 5:1. Give your mind to what you are doing. In other words, concentrate. She says she believes the expression keep your foot means don't lose your balance or get off track. Don't lose your balance or get off track. Don't lose your balance or get off track. The amplification of this phrase indicates that one stays on track by keeping his mind on what he is doing. If we're reading a Bible, we should have no other distractions around if we have problems with a wandering mind. We should have no other distractions around because our minds get distracted easily anyway. But in order for us to get our minds from being distracted, we have to train our minds. I don't like to read. I really, really am not a person that likes to read. I have many books, many books, many books, but I don't like to read. I don't know what this thing is, but my sisters don't like to read. Now, I'm married to a man who loves to read. He is a historian. He studied at Temple in Philadelphia. He studied different religions. He studies history. He can go back into the family tree, back to the 1800s. Okay, so he likes to read and study and all that stuff. And he's a walking encyclopedia in a lot of things. But me, you ask me something, I don't know. Now, if it's about the Bible, a lot of things you ask me about the Bible, I can tell you about only because I had to sit down and write the Word of God out over and over and over and over and over again in order for me to be able to comprehend it. Okay? Not so I can quote it and say, oh, well, this is found in XYZ without looking, but so I could understand it. And this is what I try to tell people. Not everybody learns the same way. If you know you have a wandering mind or a wandering mind and you have problems concentrating, then you have to find a way that's going to work for you so that you can get the Word of God in you. See, the bottom line is we need the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we don't know what to stand on. We don't know what to believe. We don't know any of that stuff. And the enemy's greatest fear is that you will get to know the Word of God and believe the Word of God and live the Word of God. He don't care how much we go to church. He don't care how much we allow other people to preach to us. He don't care about that. What he worrying about is you being an effective person who prays effectively and a person that knows that word like Jesus did when Satan came to tempt him in the Garden of Eden. Jesus says, it is written. But if we don't study the Word of God, if we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God, how can we tell Satan anything if we don't have the Word of God in us? And see, Satan wants to come and bring distractions to us so that we don't get to know the Word of God, so that when he comes, we can't defeat him with the Word. We can't defeat him with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, as it says in Ephesians. That's why we are told in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God. He says, when you've done all to stand, stand therefore having on your armor. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Because let me tell you something. The enemy is cunning. He's tricky. He's slick. But as believers, we do not have to be deceived by the enemy. We do not have to be deceived by Satan at all. But if we don't get into the Word of God, and if we don't get the Holy Spirit, see, we need the Holy Spirit too, okay? We need all of these aspects of God. We need all of these attributes. We need all of this stuff to be able to help us to keep our minds from wandering and wondering. We need the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will help us. He's our helper. The Word of God tells us that. But do we call on the Holy Spirit? No. But even if we did call on the Holy Spirit and we have no word there, what are we going to ask him to bring back to our remembrance? What are we going to ask him to bring us back? You can't even speak the Word of God because you don't even know the Word of God. And that was a problem in my life, that I didn't know the Word of God, but I had to make myself. You know, sometimes we have to make ourselves do things. We have to make ourselves just actually, look, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read this Word of God, and I'm going to read it until I understand it. And when you begin to do that and you begin to sit there and meditate on the Word of God, the enemy's going to leave you for a season. He's going to like, okay, this person is serious. They really want to know the Word of God. I'm going to leave him alone for a season, but then he's going to come back. He's going to come back, and he's going to come back. But if you know the Word of God, I promise you, you can use that Word of God against the enemy. You can use the Word. But until then, if you don't know the Word of God, call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Hey, Pastor Felicia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I snuck you in there real quick.
That's all right. I knew you would.
But am I saying anything wrong?
No, you're talking absolutely correct, Amundo. You're absolutely right. We have to have the Word, you know, hidden in the tablets of our heart, as the Bible says, and then we have to hide it in our heart. There's going to come a day where we won't even have these Bibles. Amen. They're going to put away all the Bibles. Amen. We have to know God's word for ourselves. Amen. So that's why it's important that we, you know, study his word, you know, that we get in his word for ourselves, not going off by what our mama may say, our grandmama may say, what the pastor say, because even they can get it incorrect. Amen. So we have to, you know, get in the word for ourselves, and we have to know the word. So you're absolutely correct. And it's been many times I have read books and read it, and my mind have went into a daze, or my thoughts have went way elsewhere, and I have to read the passage or read whatever I'm reading over again, you know. I mean, this has happened, you know, I had to do it like 2 or 3 times sometimes, so we have to stay focused, and it's important that we do get in a quiet place and that we pray, you know, especially when reading the Word of God. We pray beforehand, you know, we bind up all distractions and hindrances that would stop us from, you know, receiving what God has for us in his word. Amen?
Amen. And I like that. And, too, what another thing that we need to do is what we need to pray, now that we just read this particular part in this book and we're going to go back into it, is that we need to pray and rebuke the wandering mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't even realize sometimes what's going on. We don't have a name for it. We don't know what to call it. We just know that when we begin to read the word, even when we go to pray, you know,
mm-hmm.
your mind starts to wander. Just be going all over here, there, and everywhere. Now, when you're not praying, you're not concerned about this stuff. But as soon as you start praying, the mind starts
mm-hmm.
wandering until you begin to train your mind to concentrate
right.
on praying and focusing on God. And that takes, I don't want to say it takes practice, but it takes being repetitive. You got to keep doing this thing over and over again. So it really does take practice. You really got to make yourself do these things, because the natural mind does not want to do anything that has to do with God. The natural
mm-hmm.
mind, first of all, cannot even receive the things of God. Good evening, caller 215-259. We are waiting for Stacy Ladislaw to call in, and I believe she'll be on at 5:30. So we're just talking about the Joyce Meyer book, Battlefield of the Mind, A Wandering, Wondering Mind. And we're talking right now how we have to train our minds to do the things of God. Our minds will go off just as fast into something that has nothing to do with what we're praying about, has nothing to do with what we're studying about. Next thing you know, you're like, well, how did I get all the way over here? I was supposed to be praying about that, but now I'm all the way over here. Or you just don't even pray because you get on your knees to go and pray, and then your mind done went somewhere else, and now you done lost 20 minutes of prayer because you was thinking about something that you weren't even thinking about before you went into prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for a fact because it happens to me still. Okay, I know I know how to pray. I know how to get a prayer through. I know that. But there are times when I go to pray, and I'm telling you, my mind be somewhere else, be like, oof. I'll be like, Lord, can you please help me? Because I need to concentrate, you know. And if you ask God to, he will help you so that you can get into that place with him so that your prayers can be effective, so that you can pray the will of God instead of wasting time. And that's what the enemy of our soul wants to happen. He wants us to waste time. He doesn't want us to pray. Are you kidding me? You think he's not going to cause you to begin to think of things that you haven't thought about in years when you get down on your knees and get ready to pray? When you get ready to go read your Bible, he's going to say, now you know you need to do X, Y, Z, or either you'll get so sleepy you'll just fall asleep. Get ready to read the Bible. Sometimes that's an attack from the enemy, and sometimes it's simply because we have not trained our minds to pray. We have not trained our minds to concentrate and be present while we're praying. The mind is always 5 years ago. It's always on something 10 years ago. It could be on something that happened earlier today or something yesterday, but it's a distraction to keep us from being effective in prayer and to keep us from reading the Word of God. But now that we know this moving forward, every time we get ready to go pray, we can say, God, I just turn my mind over to you, and I declare and decree that I will not wander tonight in my mind. I will concentrate on what I'm praying about, and this prayer will be effective in the name of Jesus. And if you got to keep saying that thing over and over again, until you get to the point where your mind's not wandering when you pray, then you're making progress. Now, I'm not saying don't pray because these things are happening. I'm saying pray more.
Right.
Pray more because you have got to. We have to rebuke the enemy. We have to defeat the enemy of our soul, of our mind. And I'm telling you, the enemy will come to bring all types of distraction to keep us from doing what we're supposed to do. And let me tell you something. He'll use the television. He'll use children. He'll use the telephone. The telephone will ring. Now, you know you ain't, the telephone hasn't rang all day long until you get in prayer. Then the telephone rang. Phone haven't rung all day long, but now because you want to pray, the telephone rings. And because a lot of times we haven't gotten to the place where we need to be in prayer, we're going to answer the phone. So now we done cut into our prayer time. And it wasn't even important.
Amen.
But see, that's what the enemy of our soul wants. That's what he wants. He really wants us to be distracted so that we cannot get to the throne of grace. He don't want us to have any power. He don't want us to ask the Holy Ghost to come in and lead us and guide us. He don't want us to get an understanding of the Word of God so we know who we are in the Word, so we know who we are in the Spirit, so that we know who we are in Jesus Christ. He don't want us to know who we really are. He don't want us to know the end. He don't want us to know the outcome of what's going on. He doesn't want us to really, really understand that we have power in the name of Jesus. He don't want us to understand that because if we know that, then we begin to take authority over him. So he wants our minds to wander and wonder because he doesn't want us to use our rightful authority that we have over him. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you something. The enemy tried really hard to keep this broadcast from happening tonight. Okay? Whether we have Stacy on here or not, the enemy does not want us to hear this. He doesn't want people to be built up in the spirit so that they can go ahead and know who they are in Christ and begin to fight the enemy the right way. He doesn't want us to fight the enemy in the spirit. Like we read last week, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting a natural warfare. This is a spiritual battle.
Amen.
And the longer and the more the enemy comes and attacks our minds, and the more that we allow our minds to wander and wonder, that's more victory that the enemy's going to get. Because he's like, okay, no, she still don't have the authority. She's still not using the authority of Jesus' name on me yet. She's still not using her spiritual weapons yet. Okay, so then you wonder why. Oh, why am I depressed? Why am I this? Why am I that? Why am I da-da-da-da-da? Because we haven't trained our minds to do what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Lord, and I still have to say it, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You ever been in church and everybody's praying and you just wandering, your mind's just wandering, or you just looking around? And you
yes.
You just like, mm-hmm. Where do you think that's coming from?
My Lord.
It's either you or the enemy.
That's okay. Because I have been to a service before and the preacher was preaching, but I was, my mind was gone. But it wasn't on thoughts or anything like that. It was, according to this, like, showing, like, in passages in the Bible, it's like the Lord was speaking to me. And that's a weird thing. Now, somebody understand that. Y'all help me out with that. I always wondered about that. But it was almost like the Lord was speaking to me, but I couldn't understand that because, you know, the preacher was preaching at that time. You know what I mean? And I was supposed to then, you know, he's supposed to be speaking the oracles of God. And we know that God is not an author of confusion. I had to pray about that thing. But, that's how that's happened.
Well, sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak to you during the service.
Okay.
Sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak to you during the service. He's spoken to me during the service. He's spoken to my husband. He's spoken to the pastors. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak to you during the service because it's something he needs you to know right then, I guess. But he will speak to you during the service. But
amen.
I'm talking about total distractions.
Come
on now, you in the service, you can't tell nobody what the speaker spoke about. Number one, if they wasn't up there entertaining, if they really were giving the true word of God and you weren't listening because your mind was somewhere else, what you going to cook for dinner when you get home, you know, you going to go on a date with your boo or whatever the case is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about. If the Holy Ghost is talking to you, that's not wandering and wondering. That's just listening to the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
But
I
if you don't know what that to you.
Was when my mind was wandering. Now, I can say this. It was the times when I was lukewarm, when I was going to church and also had, you know, living for the world at the same time, but I was in church, and then my mind would wander off on the things that happened last night or, the party or the conversations I may had or who I met or, and then it would be on, I can't wait till service is over with, be looking at the clock and can't wait till the preachers get done and, you know, looking at the time because normally they preach about an hour. Okay, they got about 15 more minutes and then you think about what am I going to eat? Well, when I get out of church, I'm going to go and corral and I'm going to get this. You know, so we have to take charge of our minds and our thoughts. You know, we have to, that wandering spirit.
Right. Yeah, because if you in church wondering about going to the Golden Corral.
I was.
And you're supposed to be
feeding
your spirit man, and you worrying about feeding your flesh man. I mean, you might as well just go ahead and you should have just stayed home or either just went straight to the Golden Corral.
Right.
You know, but that's what we do. We think about, you know, whatever we think about when we're in church, you know, I got to go to the store, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do whatever, whatever, whatever. And then we realize, man, like, what was I here for? What did the preacher really say? Because I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was here, but I don't even know what the man said.
Mm-hmm.
Or woman. That's why we have to bring our minds under subjection. We have to bring our minds. We have to really, that's why it's so important that we get into the Spirit of God before we get to church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be in the Spirit before we sit down and try to read our Bibles. We need to really get into the Spirit because our minds, I'm telling you, take us somewhere else. They take us totally somewhere else. And we like, all right. I can't think about the Word of God right now. And then if you can't concentrate on the Word of God, what happens is we get up and we go do something else because we can't concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not going to read this right now. I'll read it later. Then you look around and you haven't even read the Word of God at all. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to wander. He wants us to be messed up. He doesn't want us to get to know God. He doesn't want us to have a relationship with God. He wants us to be defeated. That's what he wants. But we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be bound by the enemy. We don't have to allow him to cause our minds to wander. We don't even have to let ourselves to cause our minds to wander. We take authority over that wandering spirit in the name of Jesus and say, I will read the word of God with understanding in the name of Jesus. Yes, I will. I'm concentrating. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look, when Jesus was in the temple, his mind was not wandering and wondering.
That's
he
right.
was teaching the word of God, but he was teaching the word of God because he studied the word of God. He studied
right.
the word of God. So come on, it's like we got to do something. And I like to say this all the time. We expect this stuff to be done by osmosis, but it's not. We can't do that. We have to actually take a part in it. We have to take an active part in what we are learning and what we are studying and what we are doing. We have to tell our minds, concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when we were in school and we knew we had to pass a test, we get that book and we crack that book open and we study that book. If we didn't understand it, we'd read it until we understood it or understood it as best we could. And if we still couldn't understand it, we would ask our parents or we would ask the teacher in school. We would ask for a tutor or some extra help or something so we could get understanding. But see, we do things in the world to help us promote ourselves in the world, but in the spirit realm where it really counts because that's who we really are.
Right.
We don't want to break our necks to do things that we need to do in the spirit realm.
Right.
See, we need to know the word of God for ourselves, and we need to get to know God for ourselves, and we need to get to understand God and hear his voice and understand his voice and know his voice for ourselves because there's many things out here that are imitations. And these imitations mm-hmm. are out here, why? To
mm-hmm.
distract us and to destroy us. Don't you know distractions are intended for our destruction? There's nothing good in a distraction.
Amen.
When the enemy sends a distraction, he sends it for your destruction. He sends it for my destruction. That's what he sends it for. He doesn't send it for anything good. Can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear what the Spirit of God is saying? He says, my sheep know my voice and another they'll not follow. If we're following another voice, okay, and being distracted from the Word of God, being distracted from prayer, consistently, we better check who we're following. If you're constantly distracted and you can't do what the Word of God tells us to do and we can't never get in the Spirit, we better check who we're following because God is not going to lead us away from himself. He's going to draw us to himself. And distractions draw away. They don't draw you to God.
Right.
Distraction is never going to draw you to God. It's always going to draw you away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan knows that as long as he can distract us with whatever, that's the longer he's going to keep us away from God. That's the longer we're going to be away from God. So we have to say, what I like to tell people now is that you have to fall in love with God.
Amen.
Okay, we have to fall in love with God. Really, fall in love with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for people pleasing and to satisfy people. It's because God, I love you. God, I love
yes.
you so much. I love you. I love you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you when I wake up. I want to be with you when I go to sleep. I want to be with you throughout the day. I know when my husband and I were dating, when we finally admitted that we liked each other and we started dating, we could be in each other's presence for hours. But then when we went home, we were on the phone with each other for more hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? How much do you have to talk about? Seriously. I just saw you for 8 hours, 9 hours. Now I'm home and we're on the phone. How much do we have to talk about? We're talking about nothing. Okay? Just
right.
doing what people in love do, just on the phone because you don't want to be away from each other. And that's how it should be with us and God. We should be so intimate with him. We should be so in love with him that we don't want to be away from him. That we, look, Lord, I mean, I just want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. I want to be in your word. I just want to be with you, me and you. And some people will say, well, that's going overboard or you know, that's just too much.
Yep.
Okay, well, if it's too much for you, then don't do it. Okay?
Amen.
But fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with God the Father because it was his perfect plan. It was his perfect plan. It was his will that we be born again. It was his will. He told Jesus to come down here and get wounded and bruised for us. And get beaten and scorned and spit on for us. To get hung up on the cross, to die, and then rise again on the third day for us. And then go back to heaven and send the Holy Spirit back for us. He did that for us.
Because of his love. Amen.
Because he loved us so much. He loved us. I mean, come on now. He knew that we were sinners. He knew that we were separated from him. He knew from the beginning. But he still chose to love us, and he still chooses to love us today. And all he wants us to do is love him back. And if we really love him, we will obey him. If we really love him, if we can't obey God, we really got to examine ourselves whether we really love him.
That's right.
The Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me. How can you say, Lord, Lord, how can you call me Lord and you don't do anything that I do? See, but we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear the feel-good messages. You know, we want to hear the messages that tickle our flesh. We want to hear, you know, the messages that's not going to cause any conviction of sin. We would don't talk about sin now. And the new thing now is don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you, boo-boo.
I know, right?
I'm not judging you. The word of God is convicting you. I'm not judging
you.
It's the word of God. And listen, let me tell you something. The same word of God that convicts you is the same word of God that convicts me.
Amen.
And God is not sending the word of God to beat us down, but he's sending us the word of God so we can know who he is, so we can know who Jesus is, so we can know what to do, so we can get into heaven because we love him so much. If we can't communicate with God right now, what part of you think that you can communicate with him if he let you in heaven? And I'm saying it that way, if he lets you in heaven, because if we don't really love God and we don't really obey God, you think he's really getting in heaven?
He don't even know you. Amen.
Like,
come on.
God is like the butler. He's the butler. He is, okay, God, I just want you now because I need this. I need some money, so I'm going to pray. I need a house, so I'm going to pray. I need you to open up my womb, so I'm going to pray. I need a spouse, Lord, so I'm going to pray. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then as soon as we get what we want, it's like, later for you. How would you feel if somebody treated you like that? How would you feel, Felicia, if every time I called you, I asked you for money every time I called you? I didn't say, how you doing?
No.
I love you. I miss you. You know, can I have $500?
No.
Then I'll call you next week. I need $100. And I'll call you about a month from now. I need $50. How would you feel if every time I called you, I just asked you for something? Never called you and say, oh, come on, let's go to Golden Corral. Let's just go and chill for a minute. You know, spend some time with each other. You know, as sisters in Christ. But every time I call you, I'm asking you for money. How would you feel?
Oh, no. That relationship would be over.
You blocked me on Facebook. You wouldn't let me contact you. You change your number probably or block my number so I wouldn't be able to call you. Be like, oh, no, this is just a user right here. I'm not going to talk to her. I would understand that. Well, why don't we understand that about God? Why don't we understand that, you know, how God would feel? every time we get ready to study his word, we get sleepy and go to sleep. But I bet you if they ask you to go to the club, I'm talking about certain people. Yeah, I'm talking about the body of Christ. If they ask you to go to the club, you over there at the club. You're the loudest person in the club. You drinking. You doing everything you want to do. At 11 o'clock at night, but you're not sleepy. But as soon as it's time to read the Bible, you're sleepy. Huh? And that's what we do. When it's time to pray, oh, I got something else to do. I can't pray right now. Then you look up, one day is going by, 2 days are going by, 3 days are going by, you haven't prayed yet. But now the enemy is attacking you and biting you like a pit bull, and now you want God.
That's true.
Now you need him. Right?
Now it's, oh, Jesus.
Uh-huh.
In there.
Mm-hmm. You ain't said Jesus' name all week long.
Yeah.
But now it's, oh, Jesus. Now it's, oh, Jesus.
You know, I think we are okay with Jesus being our Savior. You know, he saved us from our sins. You know, he gave us access to the kingdom. But as far as him being Lord, you know, we say he's our Lord and Savior, but we really don't want him, you know, do we truly want him to be Lord over our life? Because when he's Lord over our life, he governs our life. He makes our every choices, our every move. You understand like that? Understand, like, even in a relationship, we don't like people to tell us what to do, for real. You know, we got our own mind, we got our own way of doing things. So now, here we is, we have the Lord wanting us to, you know, follow his commandments and follow, you know, his statutes and do what he's saying. We have a problem with that because there are some things even, you know, he wants us to let go of, some people he wants us to let go of, and we're not comfortable with that. You know what I mean? Because we cater to our flesh. And our flesh hates God, and our flesh hates the things of God, but we have to learn, like you said, we have to discipline ourselves. In order to be a disciple, it takes discipline. You know what I mean? So we have to, like you said, train ourselves, get ourselves in the habit of reading God's word, get ourselves in the habit of being in his presence. Because one thing, when you do go to read and when you do study the word, the enemy does send distractions because he don't want you to know God's word. He wants to keep you deceived. When you don't know God's word, he will deceive you like he did Eve in the garden. Amen? So it's very important, it's very vital that we do study his word. It's very important that we do establish that relationship. If you have a natural relationship and the person never spends time with you, amen, we have an issue. We do. We have an issue. So it's important that, you know, that we establish that relationship, that we, you know, take charge over our thoughts, take charge over our minds. Don't allow the distractions to come. Like you said, distractions cause destruction. And when you think about it, think about every distraction, you know, things that you have caused to distract you away from God, and just think about the destruction that it has caused in your life. Amen. And that ought to cause us to go back, amen, to our first love. Hope
but
that
the
makes
thing
sense.
About it is Jesus really our first love?
That's true.
And that's a personal question that everybody has to answer for themselves. Because I know when I got born again, I was gung-ho for Jesus. I was just gung-ho for Jesus. I wasn't really taught a lot about how to get into the presence of God and how to fall in love with God. Basically, what people wanted to know was, were you born again? And if you were not, then get born again. See, it's more than just get born again. It's more than just asking Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. Mm. It's more than that. It's really building a relationship with him. And because of my experiences now, I had a zeal for God, but I didn't have any knowledge. You know, I
like
to mimic and do the things that the people did as far as I was concerned. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? But it wasn't anything about how to get a relationship with him. It's basically, okay, now you saved or you accepted Jesus Christ. You said it anyway with your mouth. You said you accept Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now we got a new convert. But what about teaching mm-hmm. people how to form a relationship with God? How mm-hmm. do we, I mean, we mm-hmm. have to teach people how to form. It's more than that. I get so sick of people just saying, okay, come to the altar or wherever you are and say the prayer of faith, and now you save them, boom, that's it. No, it's not. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. You got to fall in love with God, but you got to know who he is in order to fall in love with him. You got to spend time with him in order to fall in love with him. You can't fall in love with God if your mind is always somewhere wandering and wondering, thinking about other mm-hmm. stuff and never thinking about him, just thinking about mm-hmm. him on Sundays when you stand up in testimony service. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank him for saving me. I mean, come on now. No, we've been so conditioned to tradition. We've been conditioned to tradition. We've been conditioned. To tradition, and the Holy Spirit told me that today when I was coming home from the hospital. He said folk have been conditioned to tradition, that we can't even break free from tradition in order to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. We got to break mm-hmm. free from tradition, from tradition, and we got to condition our minds. We got to mm-hmm. recondition our minds to the Word of God. We got to recondition our minds and allow the Holy Ghost to come in and teach us. That's what we have to do. But mm-hmm. we're so conditioned in tradition. Our minds are just tough. You know, you go to church on Sunday, you know, you say, those of you that know the word of prayer, pray for me. You know, mm-hmm. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Like, I mm-hmm. mean, all of this rhetoric, all of this stuff that people say to sound religious, to sound holy, but come on. We got to, look, come on. We got to get past mm-hmm. this. We got to get past this foolishness and begin to do what the Spirit of the Lord says. We got to just get to know who God is. Get to know him and fall in love. Area code 215, I'm going to bring you in. Area code 215-259. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, sister.
Oh, Lord. Hi.
Hi,
what
sister.
Number is that?
House phone, what is wrong with you?
Huh?
It's the house phone. How many times I got to tell you it's the house phone?
Because I don't call your house phone, so.
Well, then you need to write it down. You always keep asking me that. What's wrong with you?
Anywho, this is my sister.
Glad you're home.
This is my sister. Who we're trying to, we're walking with her. We're walking with her to... so we can all get to know God better. And
Amen.
That's the bottom line. You know, our minds trick us and tell us things. And we just got to get to a point and say, you know what, minds, shut up. Just look. You're about to get retrained. I'm getting ready to train you in the Word of God. I'm getting ready to train you in the Word of God, in prayer. We get ready to get trained. This is what's getting ready to happen. Okay? I don't know. It's almost 6 o'clock, and I don't know where Miss Lattisaw is, but...
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so we're going to go on with this. And I have to order the study guide for this battlefield of the mind. And Shirley, did you have anything you wanted to say?
No.
Okay, I'm going to read some more of this book.
Listening.
And we're going to see if Stacy comes in. Did you tell Drea to call?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because she said she wanted to hear this.
Told
her.
Well, I texted her and told her.
But... I don't know. Okay, chapter 9, I'm reading A Wandering Mind. It says, she said, I had a wandering mind and had to train it by discipline. It was not easy, and sometimes I still have a relapse. While trying to complete some project, I will suddenly realize that my mind has just wandered off onto something else that has nothing to do with the issue at hand. She says, I have not yet arrived at a place of perfect concentration, but at least I understand how important it is not to allow my mind to go wherever it wishes, whenever it desires. And I think that's a really interesting point right there. She
mm-hmm.
said, I have not yet arrived at a place of perfect concentration, but at least I understand how important it is not to allow my mind to go wherever it wishes, whenever it desires. And that's what our minds do. If we don't train them, they go wherever they want to go, wherever they want to go, whenever they want to go. You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me read down a little bit more.
What page are you actually reading?
I'm reading a big book. I don't know what page it is on yours. Mine is on page 88. I'm on page 88, and I got the big one because I can't see the little one right now.
Yeah, I got it.
But it has, it's under the caption, A Wandering Mind. Felicia, did you get your book?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, praise God. Okay. You have the commemorative edition or the softback?
I have the softback.
Okay, so then me and you should be on the same page, literally, page 88. Then she says, Webster's Dictionary defines the word wander as to move about aimlessly, roam, to go by an indirect route or at no set pace. Then it says amble. Then it says to proceed in an irregular course or action. Then it says meander, to think or express oneself unclearly or incoherently. To think or express oneself unclearly or incoherently. I think and express myself unclearly and incoherently sometimes. Nowhere near as what I used to do, but sometimes I do. Sometimes my mind just wanders. I don't know what I be thinking about. And there's a chapter in this book. This is why I told you guys that I may be able to do this cover to cover, but I doubt it. There's a chapter in this book that's called Think About What You're Thinking About or something to that nature.
Yeah, that's it. I see it.
Yeah. Chapter 7, Think About What You're Thinking About. That's a very interesting chapter, too. Think about what you're thinking about. Whatever. Think about it. If you had the chance to sit down and really write down what you're thinking about, I think we would be surprised at some of the stuff that we think about. We'd be like, why am I thinking about that? That has no relevance in my life right now. Why am I thinking about that? Okay, it could be a boyfriend from 50 years ago. You'd be like, are you serious? You know, it could be, it's just something stupid. Like, why am I thinking about that? But that's what happens because our minds aren't trained. She says, in the last paragraph on that page, she says, if you are like me, you can be sitting in a church service. Here we go. You can be sitting in a church service, listening to the speaker, really enjoying and benefiting from what is being said, when suddenly your mind begins to wander. After a while, you wake up to find that you don't remember a thing that has been going on. Even though your body stayed in church, your mind has been at the shopping center browsing through the stores or home in the kitchen cooking dinner. I mean, did you hear that? She said even though your body stayed in church, your mind has been at the shopping center browsing through the stores or home in the kitchen cooking or whatever.
That's
okay?
True.
It could be on getting your kids' clothes ready for school tomorrow. It could be on, you know, trying to get it together with your spouse. You know, whatever the case is. It could be an argument that you had before you went to church. You know, I've done that. I've had an argument before I went to church and sit there thinking about the argument the whole time. I can't get nothing out the word because I'm thinking about the argument I had before I went to church. And so now I missed the whole service. It probably was a word for me, but I missed it because I'm too busy thinking about what happened, you know, before I got to church, which is, is crazy. So she says, remember, in spiritual warfare, the mind is the battlefield. That's where the enemy makes his attack. He knows very well that even though a person attends church, if he can't keep his mind on what is being taught, he will gain absolutely nothing by being there. The devil knows that a person cannot discipline himself to complete a project if he cannot discipline his mind and keep it on what he's doing. Love it. Love it.
So true.
I'm going to read it again. Remember, in spiritual warfare, the mind is the battlefield. That is where the enemy makes his attack. He knows very well that even though a person attends church, if he can't keep his mind on what is being taught, he will gain absolutely nothing by being there. The devil knows that a person cannot discipline himself to a complete project if he cannot discipline his mind and keep it on what he is doing. And we know this is true.
Oh, yeah.
She goes on to say, this mind-wandering phenomenon also occurs during conversation. She says, there are times when my husband Dave is talking to me and I listen for a while. Then all of a sudden I realize that I have not heard a thing he has been saying. Why? Because I allowed my mind to wander off on something else. My body was standing there appearing to listen, yet in my mind I heard nothing. I'm raising my hand on that. I had a raise my hand.
I am too.
Okay, because there has been times, whether it was my husband, whether it was the pastor, sister, brother, mother, whoever, and my body is there, but I ain't heard nothing you just said. And I'm like, huh? What did you say? And sometimes I don't say nothing because I don't want to appear that I'm stupid and be like, okay, I'll be like, and don't have a clue. And then I hate when people do that to me. Because I could look at people sometimes, I'm like, excuse me, are you listening to what I'm saying? And I'll say, well, you know, never mind. I'll talk to you when I think you're listening. Because I feel like I'm wasting my time. So if you're not listening, okay, bye, never mind. I don't have the patience. Like, you're not listening, okay? That's crazy, right? Anyway. So it says... She says, for many years when this sort of thing happened, I would pretend that I knew exactly what Dave was saying, just what I said. Now I stop and say, can you back up and repeat that? I let my mind wander off, and I did not hear a thing you said. She says, in this way, I feel that at least I'm dealing with the problem. Confronting issues is the only way to get on the victorious side of them. I've decided that if the devil went to the trouble to attack me with a wandering mind, then perhaps something was being said that I needed to hear. I like that. I have decided that if the devil went to the trouble to attack me with a wandering mind, then perhaps something was being said that I needed to hear. Then she says, one way to combat the enemy in this area is by taking advantage of the cassette tapes provided by most churches. If you haven't yet learned to discipline your mind to keep it on what is being said in church, then buy a tape of the sermon each week and listen to it as many times as you need in order to get the message. And that's a good idea. Buy the tape. Play this over again in the archive. Do whatever you have to do. I remember one time I had Joyce Meyer. It was Joyce Meyer. I'm thinking it was Battlefield of the Mind. I remember one day she had a broadcast on, and while it was on, I couldn't concentrate. So I went back to, I believe we have Stacey Lattisall in the studio right now. I believe we do. But let me finish this thought, and I'm going right to area code 202. I forgot what I was saying. Bad fast, because I saw area code 202. So let me go to area code 202. I'm going to get that back. Oh, no, I said when I was listening to a broadcast with Joyce Meyer, and I couldn't concentrate on what she was saying at the time. So I had to go back to... the podcast, and I actually played it back. I don't know how many times. I wrote the whole message out. I wrote the whole message out because I had to get it. And I knew in my spirit I had to get what was being said. So I went back and wrote the whole episode out. Did you hear what I said? Do you know how long that took? But I couldn't concentrate before, so I had to do something to get what God was saying to me. And that was the way I had to do it. That's the way I had to do it. We're going to talk about that when we get finished with Miss Stacy. Hold on for a minute, please.
Amen.
Area code 202251. Welcome to Out of the Pure Heart Ministries. Is this Miss Stacy?
Yes. How are you?
Praise the Lord. How are you?
Amen. I'm doing fine.
Amen. We've been having a ball on here tonight.
Praise
waiting
God.
On you. I'm talking about Joyce Meyer. The Battlefield of the Mind. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Yeah, but that's what we do on Monday nights on this broadcast. We talk about the Battlefield of the Mind. Because so many people, as you know, are battling in their minds with several things. And we just want to be able to help people to stop having this battle. You know what I'm saying? But now we're going to switch the conversation over to Miss Stacy Lattisall. everybody who joined us tonight on our broadcast. Glory to God. I'm so pleased to be able to interview you on tonight and just speak to you because we remember years ago your songs, Let Me Be Your Angel, and I Found Love on the Two-Way Street. That was my absolute favorite song, I Found Love on the Two-Way Street. I mean, that song, that was my favorite song. Yes, it was. And a friend of mine, Evangelist Matt, I told her that I was going to interview you on the broadcast. She got to singing your song. You should have heard her voice. She
was, my goodness.
She was singing. I said, well, praise the Lord. She was really singing the song. And, I mean, it was like, wow. But, I mean, a lot of us grew up with you. I think you and I is only 2 years age difference between you and I. And I think I got to go back and check those stats. But, like, I don't remember a lot of the, you know, the Johnny Gill songs. A lot of people remember the songs, the duet you did with Johnny Gill, but I don't. But what I'm most proud of about you is the fact that you are so born again and you are so into God and you so love God. That's what I want to talk about, how you made that transition. And I just want you to speak to the audience and just talk to the audience and, you know, just kind of let them know, you know, whatever you want them to know. But my questions would be to you, how did you make the transition? Because you were so into these songs. You had number one hits. Every year you was coming out with another hit. You was coming out with these songs. And you were young.
Yes, indeed.
So I want to know how you made this transition.
Well, you know what? Many years ago, I knew of God but did not have a relationship with the Lord. And I would call that religion. And we would go to church on Sunday after Sunday, but, you know, we weren't growing. Our lives weren't changing. And we did not have a relationship with Christ. So, you know, during my R&B career, I always had a void in me, an emptiness in me. I never knew what it was. So I would try and fill the void with a new pair of glasses, a new purse, a new watch, a new car or whatever. But the more I tried to fill the void with stuff, the more emptier I became. And I suffered with bouts of depression. I had panic attacks and things at 14 and 15 years old and didn't know what was going on with me for so long. I pretty much was lost because, you know, being a child star and a celebrity at 12 and a half years old, that's when it all began for me. You know, I had a lot of stress on me, a lot of challenges I faced. I had to come out of school. And in middle school, I was being picked on. I was bullied. I was called names because I was very light-skinned. You know, I was called white girl, yellow girl, red girl. And I would come home and tell my mother. And you know, it's amazing because when you reach a level of success in your life, no one knows the price you have to pay. And I always tell people, you may want what another person has, but are you willing to do what they did to get it? Are you willing to go through what they had to go through? You never know how much a person has to suffer until you've been in their shoes. So you cannot judge them, nor can you put them down, because everyone's relationship with Christ is different. So as I said before, I would try and fill the void, you know, the hole in me, I would say, with stuff. And, you know, one day, I think I was about, I would say 22 or 23 years old, I dropped to the floor, and I turned everything off. I turned the TV off. I turned the lights off. I turned the radio off. And I said, God, I've heard about you, but I need to know who you are. And at that moment, I had an encounter with God, and my life began to change. And that's what all began with me, because I was in search of peace. I was in search of joy. And I tell people all the time, you can be rich materially but spiritually poor. And some folk, you know, have tons of money and have the biggest house on the hill, but you can still have those things and be empty, because only Christ can fill the void in us that he created us to have, which is a relationship with him. Glory to God. So when I tapped into a relationship with God, religion left. Hallelujah. And my life began to change. My desires began to change. And the way I looked at life began to change because God's will became my will. And I remember saying to the Lord years ago, I was 22 years old, I said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to go, and I want to say what you want me to say. And I remember back then I would just, you know, say it over and over again because I wanted to be in the will of God, you know. And like I said before, you can be a successful person, you can know celebrities, you can have, you know, the status quo and things, but you can still be empty and lost and not content. So I find that, you know, a relationship with Christ has made such a difference in my life. I no longer am the same. As my book says, I'm not the same girl. I've been renewed. And, you know, through the hard times I went through, all the nights, it was so bad for me that I would keep the shades down. It was that bad for me. The depression was so, I was in that dark place for so long because, like you said, the battle still was in my mind. I didn't know who I was because I didn't know whose I was. Oh, hallelujah. Man. So when I found out whose I was and I found out who he says I was and he says I'm not, then my thinking began to change. He renewed my mind with the word of God. My prayers began to change because I began to get the confidence in him. So, glory to God. So he just began to change me. And I'm just so thankful that I've been renewed, I've been transformed, and, you know, it all began with my thinking because my thinking was wrong. You know, I suffered, even though I was successful, I had low self-esteem. See, and that's many times what we do as women, we put on a mask. And I sometimes say, you know, some of the scars that people carry, you can't even see. Those are the ones that hurt the most. God gave me a sermon not long ago about the scars. I'm going to be talking about that not long from now. But some of the deepest scars, some of the scars that hurt the most are the ones that you cannot see with the invisible eye. Those are the ones that's deep in spirit, man. So, yeah, I had scars. I had the depression. I had the unforgiveness that, you know, I was holding against someone. I had issues, and those scars that I had before, God has set me free from depression. God set me free from pride. God set me free from myself. See, so now I'm able to minister to women, other people, because of the things I went through. And now I realize, you are still amazing, because if I didn't go through those things, I would not know you who I as I know you today. I know you as my Jehovah Jireh, glory to God. I know you as my Jehovah Rapha, because during that time I remember I went to the Lord. I went to my dad, who was my co-manager. I also went to my manager in New York, told him the same thing. I don't know what happened to me, but I'm not going to no longer be singing R&B music. Well, they thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. They said, how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to continue to do this? Because I was used to living a certain lifestyle, glory to God. So at the time, like I said, I had no more money coming in at all from the R&B industry. I had no more checks, no more shows, you know, all that was cut off because God took away the desire for me to sing R&B music. Didn't know what he was doing, but I just know I heard from God. And it's because I tell people when you have an encounter with God, he changes you. Your desires change. Your thinking changes. It's like he empowers you. You become, you start to take on the character of God. You begin to love like God. You begin to think like God. And it comes from reading the Word of God, not only reading the Word, but meditating on the Word of God. And I remember years ago also, the Lord said to me, read Psalm 91. That's the antidote to fear. He said, read it, take it like a daily prescription. Glory be unto God. He said, take it as a daily prescription. He said, read it 7 times a day. Glory to God. And that's exactly what I did. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. I would just read it over and over again until it became a part of me. sometimes we have got to not only read the word, but we got to pray the word, glory to God. We got to pray the word. We got to speak the word out of our mouth, because like the Bible says, death and life are the power of the tongue. So the question is, what are you saying out of your mouth? Because you will have what you say. Hallelujah. I believe that what I say out of my mouth, I shall have, because glory to God. I believe that I am everything that God says I am. He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I'm a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Come on now. So if you think that about yourself, that's who you are, because that's who God says you are. So it's done. It's finished. It's a wrap, as they say. So it all comes from renewing your mind, having a relationship with Christ, and you know, he just comes in and he just does a work in you. And the finished work, like I said, many times we, as people, we don't want to go through anything. But for me, I was in the dark like Joseph. God hit me for a long time. And I said, Lord, how long will I stay this way? You know, as I said earlier about God being my Jehovah Rapha, I had a terrible fungus, a scalp infection. All of my hair at the top was gone. And my husband can tell you, we had just gotten married. And I said, Lord, how can I represent you? How can I, hallelujah, how can I go out of my house looking like this? And the Lord said to me, why not? He said, I'm suffering for a while. Hallelujah. Sometimes we want the anointing, but are we willing to go through anything to get it? Because if God doesn't just drop the anointing upon you, it must be earned. Hallelujah, be unto God. You got to go through to get to, because many times it's the suffering, the sacrifice, and the submission. Those three things equal the anointing of God. So you may want somebody else's anointing, but the question is, are you willing to go through what they went through to get the anointing? So hallelujah be to God. I bless him for keeping me, for sustaining me, for renewing me, and for him showing me who I am and whose I am. Because I know now that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know now, like he said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I know now that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, you know, I'm just so thrilled that God will use my brokenness, that he can use the things I suffered and went through. Because, see, until you've gone through many times, it's like God drops that oil on you. When you're in that dark season, in that time where you think it's just you and you alone, I'm here to tell you by the Spirit of God, of the Lord, that's when he's closest to you.
Yeah.
That's when he's closest to you, when you're in that dark place and you think that you're all by yourself. That's when God is growing you up. That's when God is developing you. That's when he's making you more like him. You take on the character of God. You begin to love like God. And also, he gives you a compassion for other people when you're going through a storm. So when you get to the other side of your storm and God has set you free, you'll be able to share your testimony, but also you'll be a light. You'll be a servant of God. And he begins to sit and become qualified for his use.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God, I give you glory.
Ooh, such an awesome testimony.
Hallelujah.
Such an awesome. And that's why I wanted to have you on the broadcast, because I read your bio, you know, that you have on your page. I read that, how you minister to broken women. And I wanted people to understand how God can take somebody of your caliber.
Come on now.
And save your soul. I mean,
hallelujah.
You hear people in the music industry that they talk about God, but they don't live God. They don't,
come on,
you know, you hear this. They say God on the stage, but on behind the scenes, they doing everything that's contrary to God. And I wanted somebody who lived the life and made the transformation into the kingdom of light. I wanted people to hear your voice so they could know that if God can do this for her, this woman left money.
Hallelujah.
This woman left fame and popularity to turn to God. And that's the best payday you could ever get. I mean, eternal life is the best paycheck you could ever get is eternal life.
Hallelujah.
So I just wanted people to hear you so they can understand that. Let me tell you something. No matter who you are, no matter who you are, if God draw you and call you, answer the call. Answer the call.
Yes.
But just,
yes.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, to talk about, I believe I read somewhere that you were talking about how you were depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though you had all of this fame and all of these people around
mm-hmm.
you, ouch, how
mm-hmm.
you were depressed anyway.
Mm-hmm. See, like I said before, I truly believe that we were all born with a hole in us that only God could fill. So for me, I would try and fill that void with material things. And the more I tried to fill it with stuff, the more emptier I became. So that night when I turned everything off, we've seen many times, you know, if you want to hear from God, you got to shut everything down.
Yes.
Because, see, God, some people think, well, God only speaks to pastors, God only speaks to prophets, God only speaks to evangelists. God will speak to whomever make themselves available.
Amen.
So the question is, do you even acknowledge him in the morning? Before you get out of your bed, your first thing that you say out of your mouth should be, good morning, Holy Spirit, good morning, Father God, good morning, Lord Jesus. What would you have of me today, God? Go before me, prepare the way for me. Also put on the armor of God. You can't
yes.
leave your house without acknowledging the Lord. Every day before you step foot out of your house, it sets the atmosphere, but also what it does is God, you invite God, because see, that's one thing about the Holy Spirit is that he's gentle. He does not force himself on us. He wants to be welcomed.
Hallelujah.
In your home, at your job, you know, wherever you are, he wants
yes.
you to acknowledge him. Like the Bible says, acknowledge me all your ways. He didn't say some of your ways. He said all your ways, but I will direct
that's right.
your path. So
that's
we
right.
as people, we sometimes don't acknowledge God, and we wonder how we get in this situation or that situation. And God says, well, you never even asked me. You never even consulted me. So how did you get there? Because that was you. That was not me. So, yeah, sometimes we have to check ourselves and say, well, God, is this you or is this me?
Mm-hmm.
So, see, we all have this thing called flesh, glory be unto God. So, yeah, so, but for me, like I said, when I tapped into a relationship with God, religion left.
Amen. I like that. I like that, y'all. Somebody put that in the chat room. When I tapped into a relationship with God, religion left. Put it in capital letters,
see,
somebody.
Like you said before, you know, I don't put people down. I don't judge anyone. I love Christ, and I just want to be a servant of the Lord, a vessel of God. But like you said earlier, some people talk about God, but this is the key here. Living the Word is what brings the power.
Yes.
When you live the Word, there's a power that comes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That money cannot buy, because that's what the Bible says. The essential fervent prayer of righteous man avails much.
Hallelujah.
But see, when you live the Word, as according to just talking the Word, there's a power, a dunamis power, that comes from the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the living God, that follows you everywhere you go. And then we're talking about favor. The favor of God begins to follow you because you become a servant of God with a heart for God to do God's will. So God then, you become qualified in the eyes of God. And he
yes.
send you out, and he said, okay, now I can use you for my full use, because you are qualified, because you're not just talking about me, but you're living for me. Come on now. Some people on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, you know, I'm very observant. I watch people's statuses, and I pay attention to what people are saying. I'm like, how can you sit here and talk about the Lord 1 minute? And the next thing, we create some foolishness. You know what I'm saying? How can you sit there and quote a scripture on Facebook, and then 20 minutes later, you're quoting some foolishness? God is holy, we're not perfect people, but I believe that God is still calling us to live holy. The word holy means separated, consecrated unto God.
Go ahead and say it.
Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord.
Yes.
That word means set apart.
Yes.
So if he can use you, if you say, okay, God, I want you to be pleased with me. I want you to be glorified in me and through me. We must be willing to be obedient to God. We must
ma'am.
Be willing to live a sanctified life. That means separated. And guess what? people can see God on you. They can
That's
also
right.
feel God on you also.
That's
because
right.
we as Christians, we can, you know, you can get so close to God. He called Seri Amasita. You can get so close to God that when you enter the room, He called Seri Amasita, your very presence, because you're carrying the Holy One of Israel in you, your very presence, His presence on the inside of you, will change the very atmosphere.
Yes.
Come on now. Your presence, because of His presence on the inside of you, will change the atmosphere of the room because of the one that's your, that Holy Spirit that you're carrying on the inside of you. I'm not talking about just talking the word. I'm talking about living the word. When you live the word, there's a power that comes when you live the word. And things begin to change. Hallelujah. Things change when we live the word. I was telling my girlfriend the other day, I said, I believe God is calling us to a higher standard. And that
means
to pray more. You know, we got to spend more time in the presence of God and not seek God's hand. We say, well, God, what can you do for me? I want this, I want this. But when you seek the face of God, instead of the hands of God.
The hand of God.
Come on now, there's a difference between the two. When you seek the face, seeking the face of God, I'm going to put it like this. When you seek the face of God, you say, okay, God, I'm here just to love on you, just to worship you.
Yes.
I'm here
yes.
just because I want to be pleasing in your sight. I'm here just because, God, I just want to just lift your name on high. You know, that's what I do sometimes. I go in my bedroom and I shut my door, and that's just my quiet time with God. Many times, God just wants you to get in His presence because everything you need is right there in the presence of the living God.
Yes,
everything you need is in His presence. Everything. Yes. So many times, sisters, you don't even have to open up your mouth. God just wants to visit you. He just wants you to visit Him in your secret place. So you find your secret place. God will meet you there.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, I give you glory.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes,
and I know preaching evangelist.
Spirit.
Yes, evangelist Mac is on the line, and I'm going to get her on here. But I know she always say, God hear what you say, but He sure does see what you do.
We talk a lot,
but He sure enough hears what we say, because we say a lot. But a lot of times our talking does not match our walking, and God is
you're
trying
right.
to bring us to a higher place, like you said, because God has been telling me, and my other girlfriend is not on the line, but I was talking to her, and I said, God keeps saying it's time for us, the body of Christ, talking about us individually and us collectively, to tear down the high places. Because we have built up so many high places. We have built up so many idols and so many fake altars and all of this foolishness that's going on in the body of Christ. So He said, and He gave me this message to preach, and I know He's going to give it to me to preach real soon. He said, tear down the high places. Tear them down.
Come on now.
People are like, what are high places? Anything that you put before God, whatever has become your idol, whatever you worship that's taken the place of God has become your high place. And God is saying for us to tear it down. And He wants not just us people who never been in show business, but for people who've been in show business or are still in show business. And I'm waiting for God to open the door so I can go to Hollywood, because there's a few people that I want to talk to. And I'm telling you that I want them saved, not because I want to confront somebody, but I want your soul saved, because it's time out for playing. It's time out for playing. That's why I wanted you on this broadcast, because I read your bio and my spirit agreed with your spirit. My spirit agreed with your spirit that you are truly a woman of God. I'm not saying it because you're Stacy Lattisall. I mean, you're Stacy. Hey, hallelujah. But guess what? To God, none of that matters. What matters is, like you said, our relationship with Him. That's what matters, is our relationship. Glory to God.
I no longer consider myself a celebrity. Whenever I go out and minister at places, I say I'm a servant, you know, and I also say this, I say, you know what, thing? If you came here to see Stacy Lattisall, she does not live here anymore.
Hallelujah.
She does not live here anymore. And pertaining to what you just said a few minutes ago about idols, I guess it was last year the Lord had gave me a message. It was a short message. I spoke at a conference here in Maryland, and the Lord was talking about idols. And he woke me up at 3 o'clock that morning before I was to go speak. And I had already had a message prepared, and the Lord just changed my whole entire message. And he said to my people, he said, tell my people to put down the idols. And then he told me to look up the word, go look up the word idol. He calls Shibidi out and goes, fire, God, I give you glory. He said, those things are little gods, whether it be your church, whether it be your home, whether it be your husband, whether it be your kids, whether it be your bank account. He said, those things are little gods, and they must go, because I am the only God. He said, there is no other God before me. So those little idols must be put down, because he is a jealous God. He says, put nothing or no one before me to get the Lord. God, I bless you.
Hallelujah.
He says, tell my people I love them, but they must put down these small gods. These idols are little gods. They are imitators of me.
Hallelujah.
God, I bless you.
I know y'all felt that, because, Lord have mercy. Evangelist Mac, are you on the line? Evangelist Mac?
God, I bless you.
Okay, I have her on. I don't know what's going on here. Wait a minute. Evangelist Mac?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, how are you? I'm blessed.
Amen. We have Stacey Latifah on the line, and I'm telling you, she is tearing it up tonight.
Yes,
God,
she is.
I hear.
She said something earlier that just, you know what the word says, this, the spirit will bear witness with the spirit.
Yes.
But she said that my spirit bear witness, and it was this right here. Lord, well, let's say this, God, I want to believe you're real.
Come on now.
But I don't know. Like, hey, Stacey, that was my cry when I first came to the Lord. And I was not in a church, and I was at nobody's altar. I was in my bedroom. And I went to the bedroom one day and looked up towards the sky, and I said, God, I want to believe you're real, but I don't know. I heard you're real.
Come on,
I said,
now.
But if you're real, I want to be just as real in you as you are real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
After that, he come. Huh? Hey, God. Hey. He come. And look, I found myself praying these kind of prayers. Lord, let me die so you could live.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Don't let me die. It just don't come under subjection. That flesh, you got to kill it.
Come on now.
And so once I began, he taught me how to murder that flesh, let that flesh die.
Yeah.
He began to live in me.
Come on now.
He just come into operation. I want to help people. I want to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
I want to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is.
Yes.
He is that now. And if we would learn to love the truth, we could be set
free. Come on now. Come on now.
Yeah, he come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He's not just talking about the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy.
You better say it.
He's not just talking about the Mercedes. Oh, look at here. But
come
he's talking about living right before him and walking upright before him daily.
Amen.
It's abundant life. See, when I go to bed at night, I sleep good. I'm set free.
Come on now.
All day long, all I have to do is think on the goodness of it. And look here.
I'm going to step and glide and stride.
Yes, hallelujah.
I've been set free.
Hallelujah.
And I'm living this abundant life. And it's not about what I own. No, it's all about who I am in him and who he is in me. The true and living God. He has all the power. There's no I feel the spirit of the Lord moving. There is no higher power.
Amen.
Yeah, so Stacey, I want to encourage you, baby, in Jesus.
I want to encourage you today
in Jesus. For your eyes have not seen, nor has your ears even heard, the things that God has yet in store for you.
Jesus.
I can even see things that the enemy has taken away, but God is going to restore it. He's going to restore it. And what he gives, can no man take it away.
Amen.
If he shut the door, I don't know anyone who can open it. And if he opens the door, I don't know anyone who can shut it.
That's right.
Thank you, God.
So, yeah, you just continue on in him. I can even see some things transpiring at your house. So get ready,
yes.
Get ready. And as I'm telling you, just can you just lift your hands one time and just
thank
tell him
you,
thank you today.
October. And we really would like for you to come.
And just give a word, because you have a word in your belly, and a lot of people can be set free. And it's a shame that sometimes we do have to invite people, celebrities, and I'm just going to say that. I know you don't call yourself a celebrity anymore, but to, you know, sometimes we do have to get big names in for people to get in. And I don't care how God
got to do it.
I don't care how he got to do it. If it takes a Stacey Lattisall to come in, for people to come in, then that's what I want to do. So we need to talk about it so this word can go forth. It's not about us. It's about souls being saved. It's about people getting delivered. It's about people getting set free, because God set you free. God set me free. Barbara free. God set Michelle free. God set Felicia free. He set us free. I'm trying to tell you something. My sister's on the phone right now, and I want God to completely set her free. Okay, this is a setup from God. Yes, it is. That people can be set free. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Thank you, God.
Glory to God. And whatever inside of me and whatever is inside of us that still need to be set free, we claim deliverance and freedom in the name of Jesus. We are no longer bound. And let me tell you something. I found myself a new friend in Jesus Christ. I got myself a new sister, Stacey Lattisall. This is not going to be the last time we talk. And like Pastor Felicia said on Facebook, she said, we were talking on, you know, the broadcast before you came on, and a lot of stuff you said confirmed what we were talking about.
Wow.
And she said, you need to get her back on here, and you could just take the whole broadcast. I really don't care.
Wow.
You can, whenever you want to, you just let me know. If the Lord leads you that way, you come back on this broadcast. Take the whole broadcast, because the word, my thing is people getting saved and delivered. You know why, Stacey?
Yes.
Because God delivered me. He delivered me, and I'm telling you, a strong deliverance. You hear me? I was in my bedroom when he did some more deliverance for me. All I did was cry out to him, and he did. You don't have to be in the church.
God.
You don't have to be.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a part of the testimony that I like that you had, because you said you just talked to God where you were, and he showed you. He transformed you right then.
Mm-hmm.
He made himself known to you right then. But see, sometimes people don't want to hear us. They don't heard us. Now we got to bring in the big gun, and whatever we got to do to get people to say, I'm serious about this. I'm serious. If you got to go on Barbara Mack's broadcast, I don't care where you go. This word got to go out, but you got to come to Philadelphia in October if your schedule permits, so we can get you here
on
this conference.
Call me. Call my office.
I will. You know I will.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I'm
going
to call you. This got to happen because, you know, we don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man going to appear. We don't know when he's coming back.
Amen.
And I just want people to be saved. I want to snatch people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the marvelous light of the glorious gospel of the word of God. I mean, come on now. It got to get done. It got to get done. So whatever we got to do to get it done is what we're going to do to get it done in the name of Jesus. But you have a beautiful testimony. You have a beautiful testimony. And before we go off the air, I would like for you, if you don't mind, I want you to minister to the people who may be listening right now or who may be listening in the archives later on, who maybe they're going through something and feel like God's not hearing them or God don't care about them and why me, woe is me, or even the people who are not born again, that they will come out of darkness into the marvelous light. That you will just pray the prayer of salvation. Whatever God gives you to pray, that you will pray before we get off this broadcast so that somebody listening, somebody's life is going to be changed. Somebody's life is going to be transformed because you know how I know? Somebody tried this for this not to happen. But I thank God that this was ordained to happen.
Hallelujah.
On tonight. I called two people today to ask them to take this interview and do this interview with you tonight. But God worked it out and opened the doors to have this broadcast done just the way he wanted it done. And somebody's going to get delivered. I'm telling
you. Thank
you,
Lord.
These attacks not coming for nothing. Somebody's going to get delivered.
Thank you, God.
And I'm praying for my family. And my sister, my blood sister is on the line, my baby sister, number 13.
Yes.
She's on the phone. I'm praying for my entire family. Glory to God to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
My entire family. I'm looking for strongholds to get torn down and burnt up in the name of Jesus. You hear me?
Thank you, God.
I believe it. I believe it. So we have, let me look in the studio. We have 15 minutes left. I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to just ask you to let God to continue using you until, if you hear me say 4 minutes or something like that, then you know we're down to the wire. But go ahead on.
Okay, say the prayer now.
Yes, however God leads you.
Amen. Dear Father God, we come into thy presence, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, I ask you, Lord, even now, to forgive us of all our sins, God, every iniquity, transgression, every thought, every word, and every deed, oh God. Cleanse us, God, of unrighteousness, God. Make us more like you, Lord. Create in us, oh God, a clean heart and a renewed right spirit within us, God. You said, God, where two or more are gathered in your name, God, that you be in the midst, God. Father God, even now, God, I pray even now, God, that you would touch, God, every person under the sound of my voice, God. Let them feel and experience your power, your presence, and your anointing, God. And for that one that did not be saved, oh God, in the name of Lord Jesus, God, that you, God, would pull in at their heartstrings, God. I pray, God, that this would be the night, that this would be the time, God, that they will totally surrender all over to you, God. For Hallelujah. For God, it's about their souls, God. It's about their minds being renewed and their lives being changed and transformed, God. They've been seeking and seeking and seeking, God, but the time is now, God. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for restoration. I thank you for healing. I thank you, Lord God, right now that every need, I decree and declare that every need be met according to your riches and glory. I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against your people shall prosper, God. I thank you that we are the head and not the tail. I thank you, Lord, that we're the lender and not the bar. God, you said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, God. So right now, God, for the one who's suffering with depression, God, who's been seeking and seeking you and may even been taking pills, medication, God, let them know, God, that they are, you are the God of healing. Let them know, God, that you work with wonders. Let them know, God, that you are still a miracle worker, God. Let them know that you'll give them peace in the midst of their storm. Let them know, God, that right now, God, it's just a setup, God, for you to know, for them to know you in a deeper way, God, a more intimate relationship with you, God.
Hallelujah.
Draw your people, God, closer to you like never before, God. That they may seek your face and not your hands, God, because it's about relationship and not religion, God. May religion leave even now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. May relationship come forth with you, Christ, the living, the Holy One of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Father, I just thank you right now, God, for the chains that are being broken over people's minds.
I
pray even now, God, for the spirit of depression to leave. I pray right now for oppression to leave right now. I pray right now for the spirit of suicide to leave right now.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind and rebuke you. For the Lord God rebuke you in Jesus' name. You shall live and not die. I pray even now for that one that's seeking healing, that, Father God, that you would show them that you are the God of healing. You are the God that taught. That you are the God that worketh wonders. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the God of restoration right now, God. For that one who's in need, God, for that one that they may be facing foreclosure, God. Let them know, God, that everything you gave them, God, that everything that you gave them, that they shall keep, God. In the name of Jesus, let them know, God, that you are the God that's more than enough, God. Let them know. Show them who you are. Let your glory be revealed even now, God. Let your glory be revealed, Father, right now. Touch, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will not be the same, God. Renew in the name of Jesus. Set free, God, and restore. I pray even now for marriages, God. For somebody that's going to break up divorce, God. In the name of Jesus, God, that you would turn it around, God. In the name of Lord Jesus, God. Turn it around, God. In the name of Jesus, God. I speak to that one right now, God, that's struggling with homosexuality, God. In the name of Jesus. Break it, God. In the name of Jesus. Break it, God. Break the yoke, in the name of Jesus. Set them free, God. In the name of Jesus. For that one, Lord God, that's suffering life, God. Let them know, God, that you are the God that provides, God. Lord,
show them a miracle, God. In
yes.
the name of Jesus,
name
show them
of
who
Jesus.
You are, God. Let your glory be revealed, God.
Yes.
In the name, Lord Jesus,
in
God.
The name of Jesus.
I'm praying now, God, that you would stir up every gift, God. In
yes.
the name of Jesus,
in
every
name.
Gift, oh God, use it for your glory.
Yes.
On the job, God,
at
the workplace, God, in the grocery
yes.
store, God, at the bank, oh God. Let us not be ashamed of you, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Let us speak the words of the living God in the name of Jesus, God, that we may feel more of your presence and your glory, Lord God. Use
yes.
us mightily, God, for your glory, Lord God, that we will seek to please you, God, not to be hearers of your word, O oh Lord, but doers of your word, God,
yes,
to live holy, separated unto you, Lord God,
yes,
in the name of Jesus,
in
God.
The name of Jesus.
Let everybody know who you are, because, God, you can do anything but fail. You hold all power in your
all
hands,
power.
God. The Bible says all things work together for good, but God, you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think. So,
yes.
Lord, I just thank you right now, God, for every need being met. I decree and declare no lie in the name of Jesus. I
Amen.
Decree and declare that every need be met, God, according to thy riches and glory. God, we thank you. We praise you even now, God, for all that you have done.
Yes,
for everything
God.
You're doing
Hallelujah.
Now, God, and for everything you're going to do in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God.
Jesus.
I pray even now, God, for the churches, if there's a pastor online, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch right now with doing
yes.
this power, God, in the name of Jesus, dunamis power. He called him, yes, that you would give him a holy boldness for you, God,
yes.
a holy boldness, a holy
yes.
boldness,
yes.
a holy boldness to walk in the things that you called him to walk into. I bind this spirit of fear right now over that one who may be listening, God, that they will be set free in the name of Jesus,
yes,
in the name of Jesus, set free, be made whole from this night forth in the
yes,
name of
the name
Jesus,
Jesus,
God. Oh, God, I give you glory. We thank
Hallelujah.
You, God.
Yes,
we
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Oh, Father,
thank
I pray even now, God, that you would give our hunger and thirst after your righteousness, oh, God,
yes,
that
Lord.
We may be filled, God, more of you, God. Oh, God, may we decrease, oh, Lord, that you may increase in us, God. May we decrease more and more every day, God, that you would
Hallelujah.
Increase in us, oh, Lord. More. Let your glory be revealed in us and through us, oh, God. Oh, Father,
Hallelujah.
Bless you, oh, God. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. And for that one tonight that has just been asking God to touch them, because it's been somebody on the line, I don't know who it is. You've been praying and praying, and you've been asking God to touch you. Lift up your hands right now, because God's going to touch you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The one that says that they feel like their strength is gone, and they feel like their hope is gone. God said he's going to touch you right now. The one that is doing this heavy weight, God said, by the Spirit of the living God, God should begin to praise and worship him. He's going to set you free tonight.
Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah.
God should begin to praise and worship him. God said, use the weapons that he's given you, which is praise and worship. Praise and worship are powerful weapons.
Yes, hallelujah.
That you must use. Praise and worship will get you over to the other side. God said right now, you may not understand what you're going through, but he said, my child, praise and worship me. Praise
yes.
and worship me in the midst of it. Praise and worship me because I'm there.
Yes.
Your praising and worship will get you over to the other side where your victory is, my child. But you need to learn to praise and worship me right where you are. Not
yes.
after the victory comes, but praise me right where you are. Praise me right where you are.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Jesus.
Me right where you are in the midst of it all. God says,
yes.
praise me.
Yes,
see, when I come see about you, when I come be everything I've said I am to you, I'm a God that changes not. He says he keeps his promises into 1,000 generations. He
yes.
never changes. He says people change, but my child, I never do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He says, seek my face. Seek me early in the morning that I may be found, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Seek me early in the morning. Before you leave your house, begin to seek me, saith the Lord. Seek me in the morning.
Yes.
Seek me and spend time with me, not just when you want something from me, but God says, speak time. Glory to God. Make time for me. Pray to me. Acknowledge me. Don't just come to me when you need something from me.
Yes, 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 yes.
He says, seek my face. Seek my face. I want the best for you, but are you willing to give me your best? Make time for me. Put me on your schedule, dear the Lord.
Jeez.
Glory be unto God. put me on your schedule. Put me on your schedule. Jesus.
Glory,
put
glory,
me
glory.
On your schedule.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
put
Lord.
Me on your schedule, saith the Lord. My God. Put me on your schedule. Give
yes.
me time, saith the Lord. And another thing God says, are you willing to wait? God says, now real bad, you say you want it, but are you willing to wait? And are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to suffer for me, saith the Lord? And fully submit to my will. It may cost you some things. It may cost you a relationship that you're in. It may cost you, you know, to give up something. But God says, are you willing to give it up for more of him, my God? What are you willing to give up for me, saith the Lord? You say you love me with your words, but are you really willing to give up whatever I tell you to let go of? God bless you.
Whatever I tell you to let go of, Jesus.
God, we thank you for this time that you have ordained tonight. Father, we thank you for the privilege, truly, that it is a privilege to come into your presence and to sit at your feet. I don't take it for granted, God, the time that you give me to come and sit in your presence. Because, God, there's nothing or no one like you. Nobody can touch me the way you do. Nobody gives me the peace that you do, oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for Calvary.
Thank
you for the power that's in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the great work that you're doing in your people tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
May we never forget, God, this time that you have ordained. May we never forget, Lord God, this time that you have ordained. God, thank you that lives will be changed, that people will be set free tonight, that no one will be the same. Because, God, your very presence has entered.
Father.
We will never be the same. Your presence has made us change.
Hallelujah.
Father,
hallelujah.
We thank you.
Hallelujah.
We praise thee.
Yes.
We
hallelujah.
Honor thee. We
hallelujah.
Exalt thee.
Yes.
We lift thee up, O God.
Yes, Lord.
We worship
hallelujah.
You in spirit and in truth, O God.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
For thou art holy, O God. You are the
hallelujah.
King of kings. You are the
yes,
Lord of lords. You are the Most High God, the everlasting God. You're the Rose of Sharon. You're the Prince of Peace. You're
hallelujah.
The Holy One of Israel. And we worship you tonight.
Yes,
we
Lord
thank
God.
You, God,
hallelujah.
Because,
hallelujah.
Because you are God alone, God. Besides you, there is none other.
None. Hallelujah.
We praise you, God, with open hearts tonight, God. We say,
hallelujah.
Have your way.
Have
your way,
way
in through us, oh God.
Yes,
and everything, God, that breaks your heart, Lord God, let it break ours, too.
Yes, God, in the name of Jesus.
More of you, oh God, and
Lord,
less of us, God.
Yes.
That we decrease,
hallelujah.
God, that we decrease, oh God, that you may increase
yes.
in us, oh God.
In the name of Jesus.
Use us as instruments of your praise, vessels
yes.
of honor unto you, Lord God, with teachable spirits.
Yes,
teachable
spirits. Yes, God, in the name of
teachable
Jesus.
Teachable spirits, oh God. May we realize the importance of humility, God.
Yes, God, in the name of Jesus.
Keep us humble, God. Keep
yes.
us humble and lowly in spirit, that
hallelujah.
You will be able to use us for thy glory.
Yes, hallelujah, God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name,
hallelujah.
Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Glory
Amen.
To God. We have 2 minutes left, and I just want to say thank you so much, Stacy Lattisoff, for joining us on tonight. I thank God for how he used you.
Thank
and
you,
even in this prayer, glory to God, I'm sitting here with crying like a baby because
yes,
I know where that prayer was directed. And I just thank God for confirmation.
I
and I thank him so much for just how he wants to do things, glory to God.
I love you, Lord.
God is so awesome and so amazing. I thank him for what he's done.
Thank you, God.
Chat room, we get ready to go out. If anybody's in, everybody in the chat room, I just want to thank you all so much for joining us. Evangelist Michelle, Aisha, guest 3144, guest 3336, guest 3397. I don't know you personally, but thank you so much for joining us. Evangelist Mac, thank you so much for joining us and speaking, allowing yourself to be used by God to speak a word to Stacy Lattisoff. I just thank you so much
yes,
for joining us.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
Pastor
yes,
Felicia,
yes,
my husband's
God.
On the line. Thank you so much, honey, for being on the line. And I just thank God
thank
for everything
God.
That he's doing. My sister, thank you so much for joining us on tonight. You know that word was for you, and it was
my
for all
Lord.
Of us.
I know.
Not just singing you out, but it's for all of us because we
thank
all need to come higher in our worship with the Lord and our relationship with Him. So we just thank and praise God for everything that He's done tonight. I'm a big old crybaby lately.
You.
I don't know what's going on. But
Jesus, Lord. We thank you, God.
I thank Him for what He's doing. And please, Stacey, join us again.
Yes, indeed. Well, let me know. Let me know when you'd like to do. And yes,
I will
see you on schedule.
Amen. And we're going to get in contact with you about October as well.
Yes, please do call me.
Yes, I sure will. I will definitely
okay.
call you. I may even call you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Let you know what's going on. Okay, God bless you. Thank you so much for
God
joining us.
God bless you, too.
Amen.
You're very welcome. Have a good night.
Okay. Hey, you do the
all
same.
Right.
Good night, everybody. We love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Shirley, call me back.
All right.